D&D Dungeon Academy, No Humans Allowed, written by Madeline Rue and illustrated by Tim Probert, read by Lachman, Chapter 16.
I can explain,
Zelly murmured. It was the only thing she could think to say now that she faced two bewildered minotaurs. Bewilderment became shock, and then relief, and in the next moment Zelly was scooped up by two pairs of very strong furry arms. The dean had indeed taken pity on the students and teleported them back to the academy, sparing them all the exhausting journey. Still covered in mud and smelling wretched, bleeding, tired, and dragging her bag behind her, Zelly made her way to the modest chambers allotted to her mother as a staff member at school. Even just the short trudge from the dean's office to their home left her feeling further bedraggled and raw. And when she nudged open the tall, gnarled wooden door, the familiar sight and smells almost made her fall down right then and there. The sitting room rug looked plenty inviting for a well-earned nap, but instead her mother's rushed to find her embracer, and the moment they swept her up, Zelly knew she had made the right choice.
You do not need to explain anything, Professor Stormclash told her,
letting her down to the ground, but not releasing her tight grip on Zelly.
We're always worried, and we always knew you would be wonder, too.
But you're back,
Yasmin said, clasping her hands together and kneeling. Then she reached out and fondly pushed her hand through Zelly's hair.
You came back to us. That's all that matters.
But I'm sorry,
Zelly blubbered. Maybe it wasn't until that moment, at last, indisputably perfectly safe and sound, that she realized how close she had come to real harm. Many skilled, seasoned adventurers ran afoul necromancers and paid with their lives. She went boneless and sagged to the floor and felt comforting touch to the rug beneath her fingers. Something so small and simple, but so reassuring. Home.
I belong here,
she said softly, sitting back on her heels and dredging up a smile.
This is home.
Home, yes, Professor Stormclash repeated,
matching her daughter's smile. Maybe not perfectly, but in the way a minotaur could.
Home with your family.
There was so much Zelly wanted to say, but didn't, couldn't. Maybe one day it would all tumble out, or after she had been able to sort into neat piles, she could simply explain the rush of confusion and emotion she had felt meeting and fighting alongside her birth mother, but it wasn't time, not yet. How could she say it all and not sound mad or worse, ungrateful?
I met my mother, but it didn't feel the same. There was nothing there but a face like mine and a voice like mine. There wasn't any love or recognition or memory. It wasn't hers, and she wasn't mine. And I missed all of this. The little hearth, with its smoky chimney, the ugly crotched blankets Yasmin made, the old academy pendants from their days at the school, the mismatched chairs, one just a bit taller so I can reach the table.
I'm so sorry I ruined your birthday, she said instead.
You'll hear with us again.
Carefully, Professor Stormclash lifted Zelly's children. Or Zelly's chin, rather, and shook out her mane, sighing.
That is gift enough. Nothing is ruined now, and that you are safe.
Oh, but she isn't,
Yasmin gasped at last, noticing the torn bandage looped around Zelly's shoulder. Climbing to her feet, the minotaur thundered away to the kitchen cupboards, opening and closing with a crash as she rummaged and muttered to herself.
We defeated a necromancer,
Zelly told her, the magnitude of it still a strange thing to carry. But her mother didn't express an instant of surprise and looked it all in stride.
Of course you did, Zelly. You're the pride of the Stormclash Minotaurs.
and then the wound of the course took precedence, and the expected fussing began. But that was all right with her. Even that, Zilly thought, which was usually annoyed her to no end, was something good. Something she would have dearly missed. Home, she thought. Now I can rest. Back in the dining chamber, nothing much had changed. The goblins ate with goblins, the oozes slurped with oozes, the mykins multiplied with other mykinoids. On that day, or any other, though that day in particular, a snapping cold winter afternoon just before semester break, Zelly found herself wedged at the end of a half-broken table, horns on her head, tail pinned to her trousers, listening to Snabbler retell yet again the legend of their great victory over the Necromancer.
Then Zelly Stormclash took the pan and smashed it over his head.
When Zabla, underbite and peculiar arrangement of teeth,
Stormclash
was a particularly challenging word for him. None of them commented, but just calmly wiped the spite off their lunches while the kobold hurried on. Zelly smiled to herself somewhere else, the thought of the cave and the skeletal army and the necromancer's voice making her heart race only a little bit. The nightmares had been terrible for a while, and she had slept sandwiched between her two minotaur mothers until she could manage the night on her own and return to her dormitory room on a steadier feet. She reached into her belt, feeling like Still Strike bad she always kept pinned there, hidden but not forgotten. It felt like a dream, meeting Alidora, looking for the first time into the face of another human. She had expected to feel so much and for everything to be clear. Weeks on, nothing was clear, but she didn't feel the specter of regret looming either. So she decided that was a win.
"You're telling it all wrong,"
Bumble grumbled. They were about to correct Snabbler's every minor mistake in retelling when Gutrash walked by their table, haunch of meat in hand, his eyes drifting to them quickly, and then darting away. Zelly saw him give a faintest nod of acknowledgement, all they could expect even from saving the day. She wondered if he and Patty had rewritten it all in their heads. Sometimes Zelly caught herself doing the same. She gave herself fluctuating amounts of credit, sometimes thinking she had defeated a dozen skeletons, other times 20. Maybe Patty and Gutrash didn't want to admit that a bunch of dumb kids had won the day, and that they had allied with a vile human adventurer to do it. Maybe it was easier just to let life go on as it always did. But it couldn't. Zelly felt a big elbow nudge her and met Hugo's gaze. She knew he was thinking the same thing. Those other students were out there somewhere, lost.
"The professors will find them,"
Hugo murmured, far quieter than Snabla's relining.
"I know,"
Zelly said, but she didn't. What she didn't tell him, couldn't yet tell him, was that she had overheard her mothers discussing the missing students. Zaxtus wanted to enlist to help Zelly, Bobble, Hugo, and Snabla in locating those who had vanished through the portal. They were the only ones to have fought and defeated the Necromancer, so their help might prove useful. Yisme and Kiffin were unsurprisingly not thrilled about this development. Everyone was so pleased with themselves, so proud, it didn't seem right to bring down the mood. Besides, there would be plenty of time to tell them the news, and maybe Zaxtus would change his mind. She couldn't decide if she wanted him to or not.
"Hey,"
Bobble suddenly interrupted, loud enough to startle Flash, who had taken to slumbering peacefully in Hugo's massive book bag. The blink dog came tumbling out, spilling Zelly's milk. It was only a momentary mess, as Flash immediately set about licking up the puddle. 4 tomes, miscellaneous sprigs of herbs, a trembling number of mushrooms, dirt, and a bundle of carrots could be seen inside a bag as well before Hugo latched it shut sheepishly and hid it next to his chair.
This better be important.
Snabla snatched at them. Zelly scooped up Flash and let the... pup sit contentedly in her lap, asleep even before Bobble said their next words.
We never chose a name for ourselves,
said Bobble, themselves appearing as a book, and also sitting on the stack of books so that they could be tall enough to see over the table with the others.
If we're a real adventuring party, then we need a name.
Snabla rolled his beady eyes.
Not this again.
You know we'll never agree on anything,
Zelly reminded them.
Snabla's snakes,
the kobold cried, banging his fist on the table, nearly spilling Zelly's milk again.
All for Snabla, and Snabla for all. Kobold Crushers, servants of Snabla.
Oh, Hugo grinned and mildly tucked his hands together on the table, feathers ruffled with excitement. He had already devoured his salad, leaving nothing but a single tiny mushroom cap on the plate.
I have an idea.
It will be stupid, but say,
replied Snabla, pouting.
Let's hear it, then,
Bubble encouraged him. Zelly said nothing.
Let's hear it!
Zelly said nothing but let go of the badge inside her belt, giving Hugo her full and undivided attention. She was glad that he had finally stopped sending long-winded flowery apology notes to her dormitory page after page of his abject horror at having almost bitten her arm off. The first time it was kind of nice, but the fifth letter, her roommate was beginning to get the wrong impression.
Go on, Zelly told him. What should we call ourselves?
Perhaps I should begin with a brief introduction and methodology behind my suggestion. You see, it all began in 1220 DR when the Dark Prince...
Spit it out!
Very well, Hugo's feathers puffed further, and then he drew a deep breath and spread his claws hands wide.
Danger Club.
Danger Club,
Zelly repeated, trying it on the tongue.
All right. I like it. It fits.
Bobble scrollwork, mouth quirked to the side.
I approve, but Snabla will never agree to it. Ha! Shows what dummy dum-dum mimic knows Snabla like. Then it's settled,
Bobble chirped, their appearance changing ever so slightly, and they all observed the gilded letters reshaped across the cover until the title read in Curlant's fantastical text, The Most Daring Legends and Deeds of Danger Club.
Deeds,
Hugo read, pulling his head back in surprise. But we have performed but one deed. Does this mean we are not finished? Zelly picked up her porridge spoon and grinned down into her food.
Finished? We still have our classmates to find. We're not finished, Hugo. We're a long, long way from graduation. We're only getting started.
That concludes Chapter 16 and the D&D Dungeons Academy book, No Humans Allowed. New York Times best-selling author Madeline Rue. Illustrated by Tim Probert. Dungeons & Dragons, Dungeon Academy, No Humans Allowed. Dungeons & Dragons D&D, their respective logos, and Dragon Ampersand and registered trademarks of Wizard of the Coast, LLC. Copyright 2021, Wizards of the Coast, all rights reserved. Manufactured in Spain. No part of this book may be used, reproduced in any manner whatsoever without the written permission, except in the case of brief quotations embodied in critical articles or in reviews. For information and addresses, HarperCollins Children's Book, a division of HarperCollins Publishers, 195 Broadway, New York, New York, 1007. www.harpercollinschildrens.com. ISBN 978-0-06-306-303912-4. Book designed by Aline Lopez Levine, 22-23-24-25-26, LBC. Lima Bravo Charlie, 76543, first edition. For Jason and Brett, thank you for introducing me to D&D.
D&D Dungeons and Dragons Academy. No humans allowed. Written by Madeline Rue, illustrated by Tim Probert. Harper Publishing. An import of HarperCollins Publishers. Read by Benjamin Lockman.
Thank you for listening.